Driving back to his Manhattan apartment after a brief respite in the Carolinas earlier this week, Tony Pontoro had lots of time to think about ways in which the sports marketing world might turn in the coming months, and maybe even years. Now consulting after a lengthy stint heading up sports and entertainment marketing at Anheuser-Busch, he, like many, thought back to previous periods of crisis and uncertainty. What are brands that sponsor sports and entertainment properties thinking as they navigate a time unlike any before? And what should they be thinking about next? Our Terry Lefton poses those questions and many more to Tony Pontoro on this episode of SBJ Unpacks. I'm Bill King, joined now by our marketing guru, Terry Lefton, who had this conversation with Tony Pontoro, who, when not consulting, has kept himself busy on a second act as a two-time Tony Award-winning producer. Terry?
This is Terry Lefton, editor-at-large for Sports Business Journal and Sports Business Daily, here with Tony Pontoro, the CEO of Pontoro Management Group, and, of course, the former head of media and sports marketing at Anheuser-Busch. I thought it would be a good time to check in with Tony, given the current state of the sports marketing and actually marketing world. Tony, where is it right now? I was thinking it was somewhere in your freezer, kind of behind the ice trays.
Well, you would think that, being that I'm sort of here in New York City and I keep having friends. It's good to know you have friends during this period of time who keep saying, I keep seeing what's going on in New York. Are you okay? But, you know, you stay smart. Actually, from my windows, can see the naval ship headquartered at the cruise line. So that's somehow comforting. But I know for everybody, it's sort of a different time and a sensitive time, and everyone stay safe.
Absolutely. Well, before we get to too much of the subject at hand, you just drove up the coast. So tell me what that is like at this time in our history, because, you know, governors are getting kind of protective over there. Was that an unusual voyage for you? You drove up from Carolina to New York, and was that just the usual, or was it any different?
You know, it was surprisingly normal. The good news is there is less traffic. I was, you know, concerned. I had some friends in Hilton Head that felt they needed, you know, 4 days of getting out. But as they told their neighbors, he quarantined for 2 weeks in New York before he came here, and he's not going too far. So, you know, like I said, sort of that stigma of the New York plates. But it was 12 hours, and I oddly have done this thing. When I first left St. Louis to come to New York, back to New York, and I grew up as a New Jersey kid, I brought my car and I drove straight forward. And obviously it was a reflective time and I never turned on the radio. Well, I did it again up and back now. I would make phone calls. In fact, Terry, you and I talk, but I don't listen to anything else other than my brain and maybe a few phone calls. But it moves. I was a little nervous before I came back yesterday that, you know, there was speculation that the tri-state area was going to close down. So that gets your attention. And I don't blame people in, you know, resort areas that they want to make sure they keep their areas safe. So you want to be smart about it. But I did find it, you know, healing, whether it was just the open space of being in the car, as well as getting out of New York City for a while, was very important. But, you know, I think some people like to drive, some people don't. For some reason, maybe my real calling was to have been a trucker, and maybe that could be a side hustle for me at some point, to just, you know, because I do seem to enjoy driving for some odd reason.
Okay, we've got a career path for you, and a new one.
You know, you've stop evolving, whatever it may be.
You've been through somewhat analogous situations, Tony. So how much was 9/11 like this? How much was 2008, 2009 recession like this, the strikes and lockouts? I mean, when everything just goes on hold.
Yeah, I mean, I think what I've been reflecting on this, and it's a couple things. One is, I think we all get somehow smarter coming out of it. And I think this will happen again as we go through this. It makes people think past the routine of everyday management of their business, you know, whether that's a league, whether that's a team, you know, whether that's even an athlete, and certainly the corporations who are supporting their own business to the consumer and how they then invest in marketing. So it makes you open up and think differently, which then positive things can come out of it. And, you know, and it also will reflect that it's not that it's every man and woman for themselves, but as a company, whatever that may be, you need to, you know, look at how can you keep yourself whole going to the future, and how do the things you do today help protect that future? I used to tell my students, and still do, what experience is that you've been hit by the locomotive a few times yourself, so you've learned from that hard experience, so that once you have that experience to a younger person or someone not as experienced, you could say, you don't see that train coming down the track, but I'm going to push you aside so you don't get hit. And I think we'll rely on, we have a very young industry in sports particularly, but I think, you know, across all businesses. And so this will be the first time for many of them. And so I think this balance of those that have gone through it versus those that are going through it for the first time, you know, should be a good balance, and we'll hear from them how to move through it. And as I said, maybe even be better for it as we go forward.
Hey, your old company, AB, has certainly been out there a little bit. Ford's been out there a little bit with some marketing messages, Nike. Everyone else, I think I get the idea they're too busy. They're not even figuring out messaging yet. They're figuring out, well, when's the appropriate time? So how do you even get to when the appropriate time is? And then we can get the messaging. But how do you know when it's right to go out there? Obviously, some companies have felt it's right to be out there already. Not many.
No, and I think it's somewhat in your blood. I'm proud of what, or your history, I guess, is a better way to say it, in your tradition. What I was proud of in my days at Anheuser-Busch is we were doing the water to, you know, in cans to the hurricane funds, and we were doing things with various charities and what have you, and, you know, the whole social responsibility, particularly as a beer company, you wanted to show the community that you were a good corporate partner. And so it was sort of instilled in us. And I think InBev is looked at that page. And so it was sort of in there, meaning the sort of the, I'll use the word Budweiser in this case, sort of, you know, gene makeup. And now they're continuing to build on that. And I think as a company, as I've observed, you know, they've tried to use even the social media and the communication as a stronger marketing tool than even some today. So, as you say, others, you can get sort of frozen, you know, it's sort of like, you know, what do we do? The boat's leaking and you watch it start to sink, rather than, you know, what can we be doing to again, show that we're a good corporate citizen. And, you know, I think as our friend David Stern used to say, when he started building the, you know, all the responsibility things at the NBA, you know, doing good is good for business. And that's not meant to be that you're taking advantage of a situation, but the consumer does recognize those that are trying to give back into the community rather than just take. And so sort of advise everyone to, you know, when you can do something like that, it's important.
Yeah, it's an expectation on behalf of all those younger consumers you were talking about right now, that their favorite brands be socially responsible. But so I think, yeah, the timidity is dated. I think it's time to get out there. And the message of we're here with you, we're going to help you stay safe, we're going to help you deal with this, is a good one. But, you know, I'm finding generally marketers are timid, and we'll see how long they stay that way. Again, and this is going to vary wildly by category, but aside from what I just said, what would you consider the appropriate messaging for these times, Tony?
I think empathy is very important right now, that we're all in this together. You know, the more you can take off the suit, not that we wear suits much anymore, but take off the costume of the business person, the costume of the athlete, the costume of the sports league, and sort of go down to our human bones, you know, and we're all in this together, you know. And I think Governor Cuomo said today, this is the ultimate equalizer, particularly as his brother Chris Cuomo got the disease. You know, there's no distinction of anything. And I think the consumer always picks up on that, you know, and it's going to be, you know, I think important, you know, for not to be preachy, but to not only a Budweiser or Coca-Cola, but to a league and to the players, to not look like the only reason we want to get back is we got to start making money again. That's sort of understood. But if that comes across as the central theme and there's not things to recognize the band coming back out of this that says we've all been through a difficult time, here's how we're recognizing that with you, whatever that may be, depending on who it is, I think that's going to be important. If it's just, okay, you know, 3 months have gone by, you know, we got to get back to work. That's I don't think that's going to sit well, particularly for that millennial generation, but I don't think it's going to sit well for anyone. So, you know, I think there has to be, you know, a reach out and an empathy as we move forward, at least in those beginning, really to the end of the year. So greed needs to be put in the back burner and yeah, being responsible, smart, and caring while you're doing your business needs to be the number one priority, in my opinion.
Yeah, there's an issue that I believe from my conversation, sports properties are concerned about at the top levels, but they're not talking much about it. And that issue is, are fans going to come back? They certainly will be interested. I'm just wondering, are you going to want to come back to a stadium or an arena right away? Even if they say, we're back in business, gang, I'm not sure I'm running back to a concert or even a bar or anything for a while now. You know, short of a vaccine, I'm wondering if, you know, the business has changed.
I think it has. I think there's going to be, you know, you can't really put a percentage on it. Is it 5 or 10% adjustment, more down than up, in the sense of, you know, I found that I enjoy doing some things on a Saturday and Sunday that I didn't think I enjoyed, you know, right, you know, whatever that may be. I don't necessarily want to be in a packed arena right away with 20,000 or 70,000 people. And I think what we're sort of dismissing, like in general, because I've had conversations, not from a public standpoint, but just internally with people. And I've heard people say, oh, well, you know, the sports industry is resilient and it'll just bounce back. I said, well, what makes it bounce back? What makes it bounce back is, does the consumer come back, to your point, and does the advertiser come back?
And the economy per se, which fuels all that, of course. Yeah,
exactly. So I think there's going to be patience first. And then secondly, depending, you know, I think, you know, just say, let's say everything really doesn't get started till, I'm going to use July 4th, just, you know, to be somewhere in the middle. That's a lot of product that's going to go into a 6 month period, right? And, you know, so I'm not sure between the capacity of mind attention, between capacity of advertising dollars, capacity of just, you know, overall interest, can that all fit in to that short period of time, assuming everyone tries to bring, you know, do 162 games, if the NBA tries to get their full season and playoffs in, arguably there's no end to a season just because of the calendar, but will it be too much and will it be better in some cases that less may be more, and you know, to get through this all, to get through 2020 and then move on to a clean, hopefully 2021. But these are, you know, all things that I'm sure are being discussed, you know, right, every day.
A part of my mission here now, I keep trying to tell people, you know, we talk about sports because that's what we do, but it's a lot bigger than sports. I mean, Tony, who has, I believe, won two Tonys, could tell you that a lot about Broadway because he's got a lot of experience there as a producer. Yeah, something like that. How are they going to bounce back, right?
Well, and not only that, because there's 40 Broadway shows every night with something on, is – what's going to be the content environment? You know, will people, and I'm just using this as an example, is, you know, will people really want to sit through Henry VIII and Shakespeare and war battles? Or are they going to want something softer in tone and lighter in entertainment? So as a producer, you know, I would be thinking about, you know, what is going to be more embracing come the fall of 2020 and the spring of 2021. For where everyone's psyche is. So again, yes, the affordability, you know, I mean, does everyone come back with, say, well, yeah, our August receipts are $200, or no, we understand that, you know, a majority of people have gone through some economic trials, so, you know, we're going to start at $100 and see how that is. So it may be, and I know in our capitalistic society, it's always sort of blasphemous, but it may be, and I actually think in many cases it will be, a change of the bar, you know, that will still create decent business, but maybe not where the business was, and it can grow over a period of time.
Exactly. I'm thinking about, you touched upon it a little bit, thinking about long-term changes in the consumer psyche that may be catalyzed by all this. And you said, you know, maybe the consumer content preferences will change. I have to believe that, things like healthy eating and anything compared to related to health will be different. Anything nesting or at home will get a big boost. What kind of changes in the consumer psyche do you think?
Well, I think this has been a little bit in mind, which is this an opportunity to eat healthier or less food? So you know which becomes healthier. So so you can actually lose some weight if you're not running off and eating out all the time and drinking three or four beers. Just for the example, but I do think. Have families learned that, we've really enjoyed, being together on Sunday. We have a nice brunch together. We're not all running out to something. And, and so this sort of more personal time, is important. A friend of mine put on my calendar Thursday a virtual, happy hour, which I guess is going all over, which is just let's catch up, put a beer in your hand and let's talk, on FaceTime or Zoom, whatever it's going to be. So, and I think they will say, that was fun. I don't necessarily have to get in a car and go to the bar and be with a lot of crowded people. We can all communicate that different way. So is everything up for grabs? Maybe not, but I think a lot of things are going to change only because people have learned by just slowing down a bit. Albeit for the wrong reasons, but that was nice, and I'd like to keep that in my life, whatever that nice is.
Same with you. I had a virtual cocktail hour Sunday. I had one yesterday. I have one Wednesday. And now that you're talking about it, I'm thinking, is there a marketing opportunity there? Could you throw something off, do a cause related? That might be interesting.
Absolutely. In any case, and I also think, we're all getting it, is – just the human side of, people I haven't heard from in years saying, how you doing, And so then that sort of says to you, well, why haven't I talked to this person in years, And so now it's like, so now there's a different reach out and communication. And, we probably needed to, I don't want to come across as I'm standing on the pulpit, but we all probably needed to slow down a beat. Anyway, life's sort of short and to enjoy our friends, enjoy people, enjoy things. I hate when I talk to people who don't make time for things they love to do for whatever reason is their choice. And it'd be hard pressed to think that you can't find some time to do some of those things now, whether you wanted to paint or you always wanted to read a book a week or, do pottery or, whatever may float your boat, people are going to start discovering those things.
One of the first days of all this, I talked to Scott O'Neill, and he told me his mom had told him to find the joy in it wherever it is, and I think that's good advice. You've got time, so do something with it. I wanted to end with a beer marketing question. Now, I'm not sure how much veracity there is on this. There's been reports that Corona's sales plunged because they're named Corona. The company came out and said their sales were actually up, but the dates they gave for sales were in mid-February, so I'm not sure that's germane. But let's assume for a second that you're, the head of marketing for a Constellation for Corona. What are you doing here?
Well, I don't think you can, the main thing is the consumer's too smart. So you can't hide behind the brand. I think you find a way to have fun with your brand, not front fun of the coronavirus. I don't think anyone wants to laugh about that. But to just remind everybody, why they drink Corona, why they want to drink Corona, and just be real positive about it. Generally, I was going to say 9 out of 10 times, let's call it 8 out of 10 times, people tend to respond to marketing from a commercial standpoint, that's sort of fun, and you still get your point across and sort of light, and in a way, don't take yourself too seriously. Obviously, I'm sure the brand managers like, this is a tough challenge, but I think don't hide behind it. Have fun in the sense of what your brand is, and it will. You're not going to change your name, so just stay forward thinking with it and have fun with it. And I think that will win the day.
Well, I might even find time to embrace it, right? Because you tithe a certain amount of sales. You know, there you go. Bang. Goes to doctors and some relief fund.
Yeah, and I think there's some things that, you know, they're doing already with sanitizers and other stuff. So it's like, okay, we know you love our Corona. Now I'm stealing your idea. I know you love Corona, but and for every six pack, we're going to put money to the Red Cross or what have you to go after this disease. You stay positive with it.
The nation has made a seven-figure donation to some cause related to all this, but it hasn't been Corona specific. So, but I'm all about. I love the idea of embracing your weakness if that is indeed a weakness. And they've been the number one selling import for maybe 30 years, at least 20 years. So
yeah, they're such a global brand. Not that this isn't, you know. So they're way, you know. So now they're selling their Corona in China and all the way across the board. So.
There's a number one in China as well, so maybe it's appropriate. I think that's all we have time for today. Really happy to be joined by Tony Pontoro, and thank you all for listening.
Part one of CAA World Congress Comes to You had a great turnout and unforgettable content. Many of our attendees were in need of insights on navigating the current climate, and our speakers provided the information to do just that. Part two of World Congress Comes to You will be held on April 8th. Featuring a new lineup of speakers, including Dallas Mavericks CEO Cynthia Marshall, Major League Baseball EVP of Strategy Chris Marinek, Snap Head of Sports Partnerships Anmol Malhotra, and other sports industry leaders. Register today at worldcongressofsports.com for this interactive series filled with exclusive content and networking. Sign up now for access to the entire four-part series, including all the content from Part 1. You can do it at worldcongressofsports.com.